The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen PLLP. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And joining us live is Joel Gratz, CPA and partner with Christensen PLLP. And Joel, thanks for coming out. And be careful you don't get snow blinded looking out the window there behind my back
here. Well, it's beautiful from your beautiful view here at the penthouse here at KWLM. But yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of the snow. I hate to say it.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast it can go from kind of a brown, drab landscape to everything being white. And actually, now you traipse out into the woods or whatever, there's actually a fair amount of snow out there.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, my kids think it's the greatest thing ever, but I'm getting tired of pushing snow every other day and staying up till 10 o'clock to stay out of it. So.
Well, it sounds like, though, that some of the snowmobile trails now that, you know, haven't been used much are getting groomed. And so, good for those folks that, you know, like to get out and do a little snowmobiling. They haven't had many opportunities, and, you know, it seems like forever. So.
Right. My kids always want to go riding, and like I think they just went on by my house here. I am really close by Atwater to the, which goes across fields. So you got to, there isn't a lot of snow with the wind we've had that's maybe caught, but there's enough, I think, to get it started. So yeah, it should be hopefully a good season and we keep it. Maybe it'll turn to 45 degrees in a week or two, but I don't think so.
No, it sounds like, you know, at least today now we are supposed to get to where we're supposed to be, which is like 23 degrees. That's about the 30-year average high when you level out all the highs and lows, which is how you get those averages. And
well, it feels wonderful.
It does. It actually felt mild, I thought, this morning.
So, yeah, no, exactly.
Well, today, of course, you know, people are worrying about their taxes and getting those filed and so forth. And I know that's a part of certainly the business that you're involved with,
yes,
Joel. But you also wanted to talk a little bit about, and I imagine this does go hand in hand, and that's individual retirement accounts. You know, sometimes if you maybe owe some additional tax, one way to avoid that is to make a contribution, right, to an IRA.
Yeah, you can always make your contributions right up to the day you file, or actually April 15th. So it's a tool that we often use when you are looking at maybe jumping brackets, where you go from, let's say, the 12% bracket to the 22, which there's a big 10% jump there right in the middle of the scale. And we often use that. And again, I'm not a financial advisor. My office, we have a full-time financial advisor, John Paddock, who does a great job with this. But I'm coming at it more from a tax perspective, and I'm going to be dangerous. And I'm sure when I get back to the office, if I say something wrong, John will correct me on that, which is great. But there's always some confusion, it seems like, between the Roth IRA and the traditional sometimes. And of course, the main difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA is the deductibility you mentioned. A traditional IRA, we get to deduct today in today's dollars, and then it'll be taxable years later, of course, when you need to take it out when you turn 70 and a half and start peeling that out over your lifetime expectancy there. That's the big difference, whereas a Roth, you can put it in today, and that not only, you know, there's no deduction today, but it gets to grow tax-free for the basically your entire life until you need to pull it out. You know, one neat opportunity with the Roth, no deduction today, but if you needed that cash, you have access to the principal relatively soon. If you have a Roth IRA account open for, I believe it is, at least 5 years, you can touch that principal without having any penalty on it whatsoever. So it gives you some more flexibility than what a traditional would. That's kind of locked up. To get that money back out, not only will it be taxable, but there's more than likely going to be a 10% federal penalty on top of it. So it can be a real expensive proposition if you need to get that cash out.
Now, if I may be wrong on my dates, but the traditional IRA predates the Roth, right? Didn't they kind of come into play in the 80s somewhere?
Yeah, the Roth is relatively new.
Yeah, and the Roth is definitely, because I think of some of the things, the challenges you've issued, I think that's where Congress, back in the day when he could still accomplish something, it seemed like.
Yeah. When was that again?
It's a while ago, but they came up with this Roth idea. And I wonder if is it named after a gentleman by the name of Roth by any chance?
Almost positive. It was the person who introduced the legislation to do this, and it was relatively pretty eye-opening and a neat opportunity. They weren't sure how it would catch fire, and I think it really has. A lot of people, that's kind of a buzzword. They assume everything's a Roth now, and they assume everything's going to grow tax-free, but they also think they're getting a tax deduction, and that's where it gets kind of sketchy. And they also have rules with a Roth where if your income gets too high, then you can't do a Roth, and then you start doing this backdoor. You know, you make a non-deductible IRA contribution that you later elect to then convert to a Roth, which that window was still open to do. So there's ways to do it. It's a little more complicated to do it. And again, this is probably where the financial advisor is going to probably explain in a better detail than I can. But there's opportunities to do it. And I always get the question from my clients, what should I do?
Sure.
Because we're sitting at the tax table and we always don't have the financial advisor obviously with us at that moment. And the question is, should I or shouldn't I? What's better, Joel, you know, when it comes to a tax perspective? And like everything, it depends. You know, I hate to say it, that's the CPA probably standard answers. Well, it really depends on what your goals are and do you need that cash sooner than later, potentially, you know, so that could change your decision on what you want to put in. If you need a tax deduction, there's really only one way to go because you need that today. Where, you know, in my mind, paying tax later is always probably going to be cheaper just because of time value of money. And just over a 20-year period, you know, if I'm 50 years old today and I put in and I'm in a high tax bracket today, which is your second consideration, you really got to try to predict the future and say, all right, if I know what my tax bracket is today, and if I'm in that, you know, 24, 26, 28% bracket today, will I be in that bracket later?
Yeah.
Okay. And some people might be in a higher bracket when they retire because of other investments or mom and dad's land comes my way. There could be some things, but a lot of people are generally going to be probably in a lower tax bracket when they are in their senior retirement years because you can spread your income over several years instead of taking some big stuff right out of the gate. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a higher bracket today, that deduction means a lot to you where if you defer that later and get the money out, not only is your time value better, but your rate's going to be better. And it could be a 10% difference in your tax bracket. So for a lot of my clients, I'm thinking taking the deduction today is going to far outweigh the tax later. Now, the third variation is how aggressive do you want to be in your investing? Because if you have an awesome advisor who can get you a 15%, 20% return year on year because you're willing to accept a higher risk opportunity, well, then we have a different story potentially, because if that Roth can grow at 4 or 5 times the rate, it can make up that tax, you know, situation relatively quickly. So that there's never a good, easy answer. There's no black and white. And you know, a lot of my clients being Minnesota conservative people hate to roll the dice big. So in a standard portfolio that they just want to get their 6 to 8, 10%, which would be on the high end, return every year, it's kind of hard to beat the deduction today versus the paying tax later and the Roth kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So it's really you really got to make a decision on what you think is going to happen. And that's really hard for people to do. And that's why you need to, you know, obviously speak to your financial advisor as well and coordinate that as you go.
Are there a lot of companies offering the traditional IRAs then yet? Is that still a business that's quite competitive out there?
Yeah, you can open up IRAs in a lot of places. You know, some of our local banks, you can do that. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of, you know, very reputable, you know, investment brokers here in Wilmer, including, I mentioned John Paddock earlier, in my office with Christensen Financial Advisors. So there's a lot of people who can do it, and I think the difference is when it comes to service, you know, and how often do you get to meet with that particular person. And if you don't want, you know, if you want to manage your own funds, you can do that. So you have a lot of flexibility in what you might want to do. But so it's relatively easy to find someone to open that account with.
And as far as I know, like you said, you're not in that business, Joel, but there are these different types of funds, too. I mean, we hear the term, kind of an umbrella term, mutual funds, but some are, what, no load, and some you've got to pay going in for any transaction you make. I mean, so there's a lot to really go over and to consider, even if it's maybe not a ton of money, but, you know, if you want to try to, I guess, keep as much of your own money as you can sometimes, it can be a challenge a little bit.
It can be a challenge, and you raise great points that those are things you really got to review and look for the, quote, hidden fees, and that's where the service of the particular investment advisor you work with is going to be probably worth their weight in gold, where they can sit down with you and explain to you, okay, this may be a popular name, but you're paying for it, meaning it's front-loaded. Or, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that equation. So, yeah, when I sit down with a client, I'm maybe only giving them half the answer, which is the tax side, which, generally speaking, is something that people feel the most, right? They feel that right away is the tax savings or the tax deferral. So that's something that I deal with, and sometimes during the tax season, it's hard to get everybody in the same room, or my client just wants to make a decision and move on. And I know the financial advisors can get frustrated where, I wish I would have talked to you at that moment. We could have maybe made a different decision. You know, so it really goes back to the investor, the client. They really got to take the time, have the due diligence, and make the time to go through that, which I think a lot of people don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of out of sight, out of mind. I want my deduction, and I just walk away, and you hope it grows. And then you get that report at the end of the year, and it's like, wow, I just took a bath this year. What happened? And those are the unfortunate calls that the advisors have to take and explain what's going on, whether it was a conservative portfolio or a risky portfolio, whatever. This last year wasn't very good in returns, as you probably know, when it comes to the equities and the markets out there, and the strong start with a really poor finish. And we I think most funds ended up negative out there, if I could venture a guess.
Yeah, I would concur with that. And then you mentioned your financial advisor at Christensen PLLP. Most of the financial planners, though, aren't they affiliated with a fund or, you know, several? I mean, how do you get that truly non-biased, I guess, opinion or so that they can maybe recommend several different companies rather than the one maybe that, you know, is paying their salary, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, and most advisors, you know, will work on a commission, obviously, and there's different fee structures, and I don't want to get into that because I know I'll mess that up. All need to have a clearinghouse. You know, if it's RBC, which is what we use, you know, Edward Jones will have their own clearinghouse, and I could go, the list is pretty long.
Because those disclaimers can get rather long sometimes, right, on any advertisements they run?
Yeah, so that's one reason why John Paddock isn't here, because there's a lot of things he can and can't say, and that's to his credit. He's trying to be, you know, ethical and make sure he's abiding by compliance. That's a very highly, you know, a lot of compliance in that area, regulated area. So there is a clearinghouse, and some advisors are more maybe independent per se, because they can offer more services and more different types of funds that may or may not be directly related to the clearinghouse they have. But I think here in Willmar, we have a lot of great people who do a lot of good work in this field, you know, including, like I said, John Paddock, where we do have a lot of different funds we have access to, but we do clear them through RBC. So, I mean, there's, like I said, I'm maybe venturing out in a little bit of a thin ice here, but that's definitely a good question that they can do that here in town, Bill.
And one of the things you wanted to bring up or try to discuss is when converting to a Roth. Now, that is a traditional IRA that you already have.
Right, you've already gotten the deduction for it.
Right, and then you're going to convert it. So how does that work? I mean, I would assume there's some tax liability there when you do that, isn't there?
There's definitely tax liability, and that's where if an event happens where, let's say I'm a business owner and I have an unusually low income year, and I have room in this bracket to manage my taxes with, and I may have some cash flow still available, a lot of times we will look at, if in their portfolio, if they do have traditional IRAs and they're relatively young enough, we actually suggest converting to Roth, which then makes all that income taxable. It's not related to a penalty. That's a different, you know, there's no penalty attached to it. You can convert it on that day to a Roth. You pay all the tax. not only on the earnings, but on the deductions you had before. So then you start the slate clean, mm-hmm. and from there it grows tax-free. And it's not always a no-brainer to do it, because I think you have to look at age, because you need time to get that money back, right? Mm-hmm. If I pay tax today and I drop $20,000 to Uncle Sam because I converted my Roth, I'm going to need, you know, one, good returns, which means I need time on my hands to get that money back and then some. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to convert, right? Yeah, right. So it's not a no-brainer either, but it should be on that list of I really should consider this if I have some unique event. And, you know, the farming economy right now is sluggish at best, and some of my clients are seeing some losses, and with new tax laws, there could be generating some losses, and some of my producers are converting some of their traditionals over to a Roth, knowing they've got time to gain those taxes back, and then some. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not a no-brainer. It's not a check the box, yep, I'm going to do it no matter what. You really need to have a long-term plan, and need to have tax bracket available, because I'd hate to convert. Because that income comes on the top. So if you've got a W-2 in your business income and now you convert, in theory, that's going to be at the highest bracket that you're in that day. So that could be, you know, as high as 37%. Well, that you really got to reconsider, in my opinion, doing the Roth at that moment. But if you've got bracket left in the 12% bracket, it may never be cheaper to convert because of the new tax law. So there's so many things to consider, and I wish there was just a direct, you know, flow chart that said, if this, then do that, you know, but it's not maybe quite that simple. You got to look at, you know, at your cash flow, you got to look at your bracket, look at your taxes, look at your future, look at your risk management. How much do you want to accept? How much does the return have to gain in order to make it up? You know, it's got to probably gain 2 to 3% more on average. So if you're used to a 6% portfolio, I think you need to be, in my opinion, 8 to 9% of a return to gain that Roth conversion back in order to at least get the wheel set back to where you would have been had we not done anything. So there's a whole kind of mindset that has to go into how you make that work.
You know, it reminds me a little bit when interest rates were falling and people were refinancing. You had to be gaining something to really make it worthwhile because it was always going to cost a little bit to do the refinancing.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly.
You know, so this is just kind of, you know, flipped over, but it's the same type of principle, I guess, you know, if you look at it. So
exactly. So that's a great way of thinking that. Yeah, all the refinances were not a no-brainer either. It depends on your rate.
That's right.
Depends how many years you're going to stretch it out and how much you're going to save. So, yeah, it's the same program, and again, no straight answer necessarily, but it's something you should always consider, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today. I know I've been talking taxes for about 3-4 months, and I wanted something different today and fresh, I guess. So good stuff.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, it used to be, maybe it was just my incorrect perception, but a lot of times when people retired from full-time employment, they were taking maybe a traditional IRA that they had had for many years and converting it at that point, because like you mentioned, their income was maybe dropping off because they aren't working anymore. Maybe primarily their income was then Social Security or whatever it might be, maybe some other modest investments or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's not necessarily 100% either then.
Correct.
I mean, you know, there's maybe reasons to do it, but you don't have to jump into something like that.
Yeah, definitely not a have to, and you have to look at your, you know, how soon do you want to get access to it? And, and if you want to wait till you're 70 and a half, and if you're going to live another 20 years, essentially, you could spread that money over the next 20 years and pay even a lesser tax than converting it all at one time.
Right.
So, I mean, and I got people who only convert $10,000 a year because they got bracket to do it. So, I mean, it's strategy, it's thought, it's not a one-time fits all. It's something you got to really consider and add to your list of, I really should check into this.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. So it just kind of drives home the point to have a professional that you can rely on their advice, I guess. It's well worth it. You know, you can't expect them, you know, basically advice is probably worth what it costs. If you get a lot of free advice, it's probably worth about that much.
You get what you pay for, Bill. No, you couldn't have said it any better. Yeah, you got to. This kind of advice should not be free.
No.
And again, all the listeners out there, don't take my advice, you know, literally, because you need to make sure you go through and analyze your situation, because everyone's going to have a different need and a different reason to do certain things.
Yeah. Now, I did read a headline the other day that if you are expecting a tax refund, it might take a little longer to get it this year. And you were telling me that really there's still a lot of kind of loose ends before we really know when it's time. You know, a lot of people want to get their taxes filed, but it depends on how complicated it is, maybe, as to how soon it's even advisable to file this year.
Yes, we've filed just a few so far, which are, I would say, the relatively basic items. With the government shutdown in January, there was a lot of 1099s and different forms that were not issued that we hate to issue until we get those, just to make sure there's no little love letter that comes later that, oh, this didn't match your number, mm-hmm. You know, what's going on. So we're trying to be patient. We're trying to, you know, do things right. Before we got in the air, I was telling you that, honestly, we underestimate the amount of time it's taking to do these returns, to make sure we check all the boxes and dot all the I's, cross all the T's, because this new tax law is not straightforward by any means, and there is so many workarounds and so many things that, you know, if I could stress one thing, is to be patient out there, listeners, that not only with your CPAs, but if you're filing on your own, it might be worth waiting a little bit for the government to get caught up. Rumors of another shutdown coming. We don't know if that's going to impact the IRS or not. It's a unique situation right now where the government shutdown could not have probably happened at a worse moment for that purpose, meaning the taxes, the IRS was shut down for a few days, and they weren't. And then the people who were coming back weren't getting paid. So then there's a union exemption that if you can't afford to get there, meaning if I haven't been paid, I can't afford to get there, you cannot show up and not be fired.
I see. Wow.
Yeah. So you just don't know. You might hear in the news that, oh, yeah, they're all told to come back, but they don't have to. Mm-hmm. Based upon the union clause. So it's a real interesting climate out there, and the tax season is going to be one of the most interesting I probably had in my 20-plus years. So it's going to be one of those things. And if you see me laying in the street somewhere, passed out, Bill, just give me something warm and some food and try to push me on my way, okay, Bill?
You know, and then to add the even more complexity is the Minnesota's nonconformity situation. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if you needed even one more hurdle to go over, that, you know.
There it is.
You know, there you are.
Yeah. Hopefully I won't pass out, but yeah.
Well, thank you, Joel, for coming in and, you know, sharing some good information with our listeners. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me in.
And how do people reach Christensen LLP?
Give us a shout at 320-235-5937 or look us up on the great World Wide Web at ChristensenCPAs.com.
All right, and then this little discussion eventually will be posted on both our website and your website.
So, awesome. Yeah. All right. Look forward to it, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome, Joel. Have a great day. It's 15 degrees. We're going to join Linda Brecky now at the Linder Farm Network for a check on markets on the way next here on KWLM.